About an hour ago, Donald Trump addressed the American people. This follows an address from Prime Minister Albanese of Australia to his people, as well as Prime Minister Starmer to the British people. And in both speeches by Starmer and Albanese, they said to the people, "We know that fuel prices, gas prices are going up, and we should expect more pain, but we will do as much as we can to ensure that your wallet is not too impacted." Donald Trump, in his address to the American people, basically said that this war will continue, and America may start to bomb energy and oil infrastructure of Iran. Okay, so let's listen to a few of his words.
Our economy is strong and improving by the day, and it will soon be roaring back like never before. It will top the levels that it was a month ago. I've made clear from the beginning of Operation Epic Fury that we will continue until our objectives are fully achieved. Thanks to the progress we've made, I can say tonight that we are on track to complete all of America's military objectives shortly, very shortly. We're going to hit them extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong.
Okay, so he's basically saying that we're winning this war and we will bomb them to the Stone Ages, which tells us he's actually not winning this war. Okay, now, I also want to look at another person who is Peter Hegseth.
New strategic map.
So remember, this war in Iran, it's not ending. In fact, many people believe it's only starting to ramp up. So there are rumors that Donald Trump has already authorized the use of ground forces. And so we could see an invasion of Iran as early as this weekend, but certainly, definitely this month, okay? But while America is fighting this war in Iran, this is the Secretary of War, Peter Hegseth, and he's announced that America will control all North America.
From Greenland to the Gulf of America to the Panama Canal and its surrounding countries. At the Department of War, we call this strategic map the Greater North America. Why? Because every sovereign nation and territory north of the equator, from Greenland to Ecuador and from Alaska to Guyana, is not part of the global south. It's our security perimeter in this great neighborhood that we all live in.
Okay. So basically, what he's saying is we will enforce the Monroe Doctrine in North America. So it sounds very strange to people in that Donald Trump is fighting this war in Iran that's not really winnable. At the same time, he is being aggressive in North America. He's seeking fights with Canada, with Denmark over Greenland, with Colombia, with Mexico, with Cuba. In fact, he's embargoing Cuba right now, and people expect possibly an invasion of Cuba very soon. So people just think that Donald Trump is all over the place and he's idiotic, okay? So this is Iran, and everyone says that a ground invasion of Iran would be stupid because it is much too large to invade. Right now, America has only about 50,000 troops in the Middle East, and the geography, the terrain, makes it very hard to control. Okay, so you have these mountains, the Zagros Mountains, which allows for the Iranians to hide and conduct guerrilla warfare and use drone strikes and artillery strikes. And then you have the desert, which makes it very hard to cross. Okay, so even if the Americans were to attack from here, from Iraq, they would have to face the mountains. If they were attacked from Pakistan, from the east, they would have to face deserts. Okay. And if they were to attack from the south, they would face all these mountains. And also you're far away from Tehran, which is ultimately your objective. Okay. So there's lots of conversations about what the Americans are trying to do. Right now, the consensus seems to be the Americans first want to control the Strait of Hormuz in order to elevate the strain on the global economy. Okay. But as you can see from this map, first of all, the strait, it's not very wide and it's very close to the Iranian coastline and the mountains. So it's easy to attack from. And, there are these, and then the Iranians can put mines all around the strait as well. So what everyone tells us is that an invasion of Iran would just be idiotic. At the same time, the Americans need to free up the Strait of Hormuz and allow for maritime navigation in order to stabilize the global economy. Okay. Already we're seeing lots of signs that America is preparing for a long, long war. So there are already 50,000 troops in the Middle East, and a lot of them will be deployed against Iran. But also, there's a letter from Leonard Anderson to reserves, telling them, we must get ready to deploy, fight, and win. Okay? So not only have they sent 50,000 troops to Middle East, but they're preparing to call up the reserves as well. Okay, so this seems as though America is preparing for total war. Polymarket is a very interesting place to understand how global events will turn out, okay? And so there are three indicators that in fact a war is coming, a ground invasion is coming. First of all, the pizza index is exploding. What does this mean? It means that in the Pentagon, when they're preparing to launch a ground invasion, they need to work overtime. And so they call for pizza. Okay? And so pizza deliveries are going up. Gay bars are empty. Okay? So when people are, you know, don't have much to do, they go and, you know, go on dates. The last is that people are making bets, large bets, that a ground invasion will happen. Okay? So these are people who have inside information. And so they go on Polymarket and make a bet that this will happen, knowing it will happen. So this guy bet $200,000 that a ground invasion will happen. And if it turns out a ground invasion does happen, he will win over $1 million. Okay. So these are three very good indicators that a ground invasion has been approved and it will happen very, very soon. Okay. Donald Trump himself has said many, many things, okay? So he said that, you know what? If we leave the Middle East, it's not our problem. We don't really care, okay? And he also says that, hey, NATO, it's your responsibility to open the Strait of Hormuz because we told you so and because you need the oil. And of course, NATO is angry at Donald Trump because previously Donald Trump threatened to take over Greenland. Okay, so everyone thinks Donald Trump is just a moron. He doesn't plan ahead because before this war in Iran, where he needs the help of NATO, he was pissing off NATO by threatening to take over Greenland. So Donald Trump is over the place. He's just a moron, right? But let's just assume, okay, that the ground invasion goes ahead. What will happen? Well, as I predicted before, if a ground invasion were to go ahead, first of all, America would lose this war because a ground invasion would fail and the Iranians are fully prepared for a ground invasion. Second of all, if America loses this war, the American empire would die because it would be forced out of the Middle East. They would lose the petrodollar and the US dollar as a global reserve currency. The third thing is the global economy would collapse. So clearly, Donald Trump is the worst president in human history. And he's a complete buffoon. Right? Okay. But let's put our thinking caps on. Okay, let's use game theory and say, but what if, For some strange reason, Donald Trump wants to lose his war in Iran. What if he wants the American empire to collapse? What if Donald Trump wants to destroy the global economy? Then he'd be a genius, right? Right? He's a moron because he's going to destroy the American empire. But if he actually wants to destroy the American empire, then the man is the greatest American president ever, okay? Okay, so we're going to have a fun class today, and we're going to make the argument that, in fact, Donald Trump is a genius. That, in fact, all this chaos is purposeful. That there's actually a plan behind all this, okay? That's the argument I want to make to you today. Okay, so what is the plan? What is going on here? All right, so first thing to notice is that the world gets 20%, okay? 20% of its oil from the Middle East, okay? Primarily going to East Asia. So India gets about 6% of its oil from the Middle East. Japan gets 75% of its oil from the Middle East. So East Asia is heavily dependent on Middle East oil, okay? But as you can see, it also goes to Europe as well. And then also to the United States, all right? So the world is dependent on the GCC oil. If this war continues, if ground forces are used, then all the oil from the Middle East collapses. And JP Morgan has come out and said that by mid-April, the world will run out of oil, okay? So this is a disaster for the world. But it's not, it's just much more than energy needs, okay? So this, because Iran is constraining movement in the Strait of Hormuz, we're seeing seven major shortages, okay? So yes, we know oil and LNG are being stopped, okay? But actually the problem is much worse, because look at phosphate, ammonium, sulfur, urea. This is food production, okay? Primarily used for fertilizers. In other words, if this war persists, not only will countries run out of energy, they'll also run out of food, okay? Also, look at this. Helium and sulfur are used for what? They're used for semiconductors, the production of semiconductors. Helium and sulfuric acid in the production of semiconductors, which leads to AI, okay? So, in other words, this war in the Middle East, it's impacting everything in the modern economy, okay? If this war continues, the global economy could collapse. But again, we're making the assumption that Donald Trump is a genius, and this is all part of his big plan, okay? So what is his plan? All right. So, okay, we know that there's a lot of oil in the Middle East, okay? But, you know, oil is not as rare as people think it is. There's also a lot of oil in Canada. Venezuela has the world's largest oil reserves, okay? Russia also has a lot of oil. So in other words, if the Strait of Hormuz is closed, if this war in the GCC continues, it doesn't mean the world no longer has oil. All it means is the world is now much more dependent on North America and Russia for oil. And so the global economy now shifts over to North America and to Russia. Okay? So in other words, the United States starts a stupid war in the GCC in the Middle East. It can't possibly win, but it still benefits. Because now the world is much more dependent on North America. Okay? Why is Venezuela important? because America just took over Venezuela in January. Okay, and look, Canada has a lot of oil, and Trump is threatening to take over Canada. Okay, so now let's look at who needs the oil. Well, this map tells you that if you're in the red, you consume more oil than you export. And who are these countries? Well, they're Europe, okay? And they are East Asia, as well as Australia. Okay? So, yes, I understand Donald Trump's an idiot. Yes, I understand that he's going to lose his war in the Middle East. Yes, I understand he's going to destroy the global economy. But for some strange reason, he benefits. And the United States benefits. Because now, Europe and China, Japan, Australia, they are much more dependent on North America for resources, for food, for energy. Okay? All right, food. Okay, so nitrogen is important for fertilizers. Okay? You need nitrogen for fertilizers. And what this map tells you is that if you are in the blue or the light blue, it means you produce more nitrogen than you need, so you export it. If you are not in the blue, then you're kind of screwed, okay? So basically, this area especially, this area, okay? Europe, as some parts of Europe, okay? So now they need more nitrogen. And again, before they were getting a lot of nitrogen, ammonia, from the Middle East. And now, where are they forced to get the nitrogen? From here and from here. Okay? So again, yes, I know Donald Trump's losing this war in the Middle East, but in the long term, America stands to benefit. Last thing I want to look at is water, okay? Water is important because water tells us which areas are the most stable. Basically, if you have a lot of water, you're less prone to conflict. But if you don't have that much water, then you're prone to conflict, okay? So so if you're in a dark blue, you're good, okay? Nothing to worry about. If you are in the light blue, you are in a lot of trouble, okay? So if we look at this area, North America, pretty stable because lots and lots of fresh water, okay? If you look at Russia, pretty stable, lots and lots of fresh water. But if you're Africa, you're in a lot of trouble. If you're Europe, you're in a lot of trouble. If you are Middle East, you're in a lot of trouble. If you are Southeast Asia, you are not much trouble, but you are in some trouble, okay? So we already see how this map tells us where in the future, basically Russia and the United States, North America, are the most stable parts of the world with the most resources. And therefore, they are the most resilient, the most stable, okay? But if you go to Africa, Europe, Middle East, Southeast Asia, these are points of conflict in the world. So we can expect these places to become much more unstable over time. So in other words, all the United States and Russia have to do is maintain stability and then export resources to these places. And guess what? And then they make a lot of money for themselves. Okay? So again, I understand Donald Trump's an idiot. I understand this war in the Middle East is stupid. But from a long-term game theory perspective, the United States wins from this disaster, from a long-term perspective, okay? Now, you look at this map, you think, well, China's pretty good too, right? Like, China has a lot of fresh water. The problem with China, though, is this. China sits on a lot of fresh water that Southeast Asia and India depends on, okay? So a lot of water is in the Tibetan Plateau, and it flows downstream into India and in Southeast Asia. If there were drought, using game theory, we can suspect that China might want to keep the water for itself, right? In which case, Southeast Asia and India would be very angry, okay? So this is a potential flashpoint that we have to watch out for. Okay, so it seems like China is stable, but the surrounding areas are not so stable. And so China will be dragged into a conflict. Okay. All right. So let's summarize what we've learned so far. So these are the countries with the most oil reserves. Okay, Venezuela. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Canada, Iraq, UAE, Kuwait, United States, Russia. Okay. All right. Now, what's interesting about this is this. This war in the Middle East is going to knock out the oil production of Saudi Arabia, of Iran, of Iraq, of UAE, of Kuwait. Which leaves what? Which leaves, Venezuela, Canada, and the United States, okay? North America and Russia. Okay? Now, then let's look at who has to buy oil. All right? Let's look at who buys oil. Well, the United States consumes a lot of oil, but again, it has its own supply of oil. China needs to import a lot of its oil needs, okay? So China imports about 75% of its oil needs. India, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Brazil, Japan, South Korea, okay? Germany. All right, so China, India, Japan, South Korea imports a lot of oil. And where does it get its oil from? The Middle East, right? So if it can't get its oil from the Middle East, then these four countries, China, India, Japan, and South Korea, will need to get the oil either from the United States or Russia. Okay? And why does this matter? Let's look at this. Let's look at who owns the most U.S. treasuries. Basically, if you own a lot of U.S. treasuries, it means that you are financing American debt. America right now is $39 trillion in debt. That's a lot of money. But as long as people continue to buy U.S. debt, as long as people want to buy U.S. treasuries, it's not a problem, okay? It's a Ponzi scheme. Okay. So, let's look at this. Who are the biggest holders of U.S. debt? Japan, China, right? Taiwan, Singapore, Hong Kong, India. Okay, so this is all Asia. And we already said that Asia needs our oil from the Middle East, right? Now, let's look at others. United Kingdom is second, okay? Cayman Islands is basically just Europe as well. It's a money laundering operation, okay? Belgium, Luxembourg, Canada, France, Ireland, Switzerland. These countries are Europe. And again, where do we say most oil from the GCC go? It goes to either Asia or Europe. And now, because of the stupid war in the Middle East, Asia and Europe are now forced to buy oil from either Russia or the United States. And this is important, okay? This is important because previously, there's a fear that these countries would stop buying U.S. treasuries because America is too heavily in debt. The American economy is too much of a Ponzi scheme. So there's this great fear that Europe and Asia would move away from the US dollar and more towards Swiss francs or gold, okay? Now, because Europe and Asia need fertilizer, they need energy from the United States and North America, the United States no longer has to worry about its debt, okay? All right, the $39 trillion debt, not a problem, because the entire world is dependent on North America for resources. The Ponzi scheme can keep on going. So again, Donald Trump is an idiot, but he's so stupid, he's become a genius. Okay. All right. Now you're like, wait, but Donald Trump's an idiot. Where would he get this idea from? How would he know how to do this? And the answer is because Putin has already proven that this strategy works in Ukraine. Okay, so let me show you how. Okay, so this is the war in Ukraine. And as you can see, the dark red are areas in which Russia is contesting territory. The pink are areas in which Russia wants to gain territory. As you can see, Russia still has a long way to go. And we're already 4 or 5 years into this war, which means that this war can go on for another 10, 20 years. It's a very slow grind. And it's good for Russia. Yes, I know that Russia is losing a lot of soldiers, and I know that the Russian economy is suffering, but this long war of attrition is good for Russia. Why? Well, because first of all, what it does is it allows Russia to industrialize its economy. Okay? It allows Russia to center its economy around war production. Okay? So the red, as you can see, is total industry. Okay? And as you can see, it's been going up since the war started. Right? Overall industry has been going up as well. Unfortunately, industries that are not dominated by the military, that have no war purpose, it's actually going down. Okay? So it seems as though the entire Russian economy is being restructured for total war, for a long war. And that is the purpose, that is the goal. Okay, so again, the pink are military industries. The blue are civilian industries. And as you can see, the pink completely dominate the blue. And the trend is increasing, meaning it is possible in 4 or 5 years' time, Russia is primarily a war economy. Industrializing to produce war weapons, okay, munitions. Specifically, drones, okay? These are drones. All right. So, at the beginning of the war, Russia was dependent on Iran for drones, okay? But then, what happened over time is that Russia started to have its own domestic production, okay? So imports from Iran have stayed constant, and then domestic production has gone way up, which tells us that the Russian economy is industrializing for the production of drones. And Russia is preparing to fight a long, long war. Now, not only can Russia produce its own drones for the war, but it can also export its drones to Iran to fight against the Americans. Okay? And so you're like, wait a minute here. So Russia is switching its entire economy to war production, which means that Russia will always fight wars. Is that what Russia is planning? And the answer is yes, it is. Okay? And so let me explain why Russia is planning this. This is something called the Third Rome Plan. Okay? And this comes from the 1996 book. Foundations of Geopolitics. Okay? By Alexander Dugin, who I think is one of the smartest geopolitical thinkers alive today. Okay? And his argument is this. His argument is this unipolar moment of American dominance, it's going to fade away because it's too much focus on secularism, individualism, liberalism. And these ideas break apart community. These ideas are anti-human. So eventually, Western society, Western civilization will collapse because its values are abhorrent. And when it collapses, this gives opportunity for Moscow to become the third Rome, okay? We'll talk more about this in the future. But what's brilliant about Dugin is he recognizes that when the world collapses, all Russia has to do is stay stable and resilient. As long as it stays together, unified, cohesive, it'll be fine. Okay? Because as this global order collapses, as the global economy collapses, every other society will face eternal collapse, such as the United States, okay? So he predicts civil war in the United States as left and right go to war against each other, okay? He predicts collapse of China. He predicts collapse of the Middle East. He predicts collapse of Europe, okay? So all these places are collapsing. Basically, if you are the main pillar of the global economy, you are much more susceptible to collapse than if you are not, okay? So what Dugin says is this, okay, all right. So the strategy is, first of all, Russia needs to stay coherent. It needs to defend its territory. It needs to unify its people through nationalism, through religion, okay, through faith. And then what Russia needs to do is figure out allies that would support the Russian outlook. And these allies could include Japan, okay? Vietnam, India, Iran, okay? And then by combining their forces, they become a trading bloc onto themselves. This is an age of nuclear weapons. You don't want to go to war against each other. But this is also an age of collapse. So as long as you're able to stay coherent, as long as you're able to defend your borders, then you'll come out ahead, okay? So that's the idea of moving towards war, because war has a power to unify the imagination and the beliefs of the people in your nation, right? So you're using war in order to increase the nationalism, the religion of your society, which will allow you to weather the storm better, okay? So that is the grand vision of Alexander Dugin. And in my opinion, he is absolutely correct. And Russia is moving towards this by invading Ukraine, all right? So the Ukraine invasion was not a response to NATO. The Ukraine invasion was to implement this grand vision for the creation of the Third Rome, to allow Russia to survive the coming collapse of the global order better than anyone else, okay? And so by taking over Ukraine, you now control one third of the world's carbohydrates and a lot of the world's energy, right? And once you control Ukraine and the Black Sea, you are now able to export your energy and your food to Africa, to the Middle East, to Europe, to Asia, okay? So that's the grand vision for Russia. And again, in my opinion, this makes a lot of sense. The world is collapsing, and so you have to build a fortress. You have to be self-sufficient in order to weather the storm. So given this, America's like, well, we can do the same thing, okay? And so the grand plan for America is something called the Technate, okay? Sorry. This is something we'll discuss more later on, okay? But first I want to introduce this idea to you, the Technate. And the Technate is very simple. It's the idea that, you know what? Yes, the world is going into chaos. The world is collapsing. But North America is self-sufficient, right? So these past few months, Donald Trump has been picking a fight with Denmark over Greenland, right? He's been threatening Canada. He's been threatening Mexico. He's been threatening Colombia. He's sticking over Venezuela. He's been threatening Cuba. He's been threatening Honduras, Nicaragua. Why is he doing this? Because they're all part of the grand vision for Greater North America. Okay, what Peter Hegseth calls Greater North America. The technate. All right? And this is a response to Moscow's third Rome. If Moscow is going to build this grand alliance in order to weather the storm, then America has no choice but to also build this grand alliance as well in order to protect itself in this coming storm. All right? So what Donald Trump has recognized is that Putin is right. The world is collapsing. There's nothing we can do to save the world. So let's just accelerate it in a way that allows America to benefit from this collapse. Okay? So by collapsing the GCC, by collapsing the Middle East, you make Asia and Europe now dependent on American, North American energy and fertilizer exports. And this allows you the resources, the motivation to create the technate. Okay? This self-sufficient economy. Okay? Does it make sense? All right. Okay. All right. So, let us summarize. Okay. So, in September 11th, 1991, George H.W. Bush, he responds to the fall of the Berlin Wall, the collapse of Soviet Union, by quoting a new phrase called the New World Order. And there are three major pillars to the idea of the New World Order, okay? The first idea is that America will become the financial capital of the world. America will offshore resources and manufacturing to other places. And then America will focus primarily on finance, making Wall Street the center of the world, okay? The other idea is the idea of secular multiculturalism. So the world is divided, but what can unite everyone is the love of money, the love of consumerism. So if we just focus on making money and buying things, then the world will be forever at peace. Okay? And so we have to let go of borders. We have to let go of community. We have to let go of identity and focus more on consumerism. Okay? And the last idea is global domination, where in order for global trade to happen, America will provide security for all. No one has to fight it anymore because America will guarantee global peace. If anyone rises to challenge this order, Pax Americana, then America will go destroy it. Okay? So these are the three main pillars of the New World Order as announced by George H.W. Bush on September 11th, 1991. Okay? Trump World Order is a response to this New World Order. Basically, what Trump is saying, and what he's been saying for a long time is, why should America pay for the defense of other nations? Why should America have to be the consumer of last resort for everyone? Why are Americans paying for everything so that Europeans can have their welfare and their pension? Everyone's taking advantage of America and is destroying America. So let us change the New World Order to the Trump World Order, okay? And how do you do that? Well, you move America from a focus on finance to a focus on resources and manufacturing, okay? Basically, you believe the world is going to permanent war, and so you provide the resources and the manufacturing in order to facilitate this world war. Meanwhile, America has become Fortress of America. It can hide behind its fortress, continental fortress, and it's protected by two oceans, right? Okay? So this makes sense. Multiculturalism doesn't work. It leads to stupidity such as DEI, woke politics, transgenderism. It's all retarded. Let's focus on what makes us proud to be Americans, which is Christian nationalism, okay? Our love of the white race, our nation, and God. Okay? So no more of this multiculturalism. No more immigration. No more open borders. No more Democratic Party. Let's just focus on being Christian nationalists. Okay? Love the United States. Love of Christianity. Love of the white race. And the last idea is, why should America pay to protect the world? Screw Pax Americana. Let's just do MAGA. Okay? What is MAGA? MAGA is National Rejuvenation. Let's make America great again by rebuilding America's manufacturing industry, by exploiting the infinite resources that God has given America in order to make sure every American has a decent life. Okay? All right? So again, I understand Trump is an idiot. Trump has launched America into this stupid war in the Middle East. Trump has pissed off NATO. Trump has pissed off all of America's allies. So he's a retard. But if the goal was to destroy the American empire, destroy the global economy, and rebuild America for the benefit of Americans, then Trump is a genius. And he may go down in history as America's greatest president. Okay? All right. Any questions? Yeah.
My first question is, you mentioned that the Donald Trump or like Putin, they think that the world, like the whole system, will collapse inevitable. But like how, why? Like if this Ukraine war doesn't happen, or if this Iran war won't happen, how will the world economy collapse? Like,
okay, that's a really good question. Okay. So, both Putin and Trump know that the world will collapse. And the question is, how do they know this? And the answer is because it's so obvious, okay? So, for the longest time, America started, what America did was, it basically, after World War II, it lent money to Europe and Japan so that Europe and Japan can buy manufactured goods from America, okay? And this is good for America because it created a lot of jobs and Americans were productive. But then over time, Americans became very lazy. And so they made the Europeans and the Japanese do the work, specifically Germany. And then America started to be the consumer, okay? So then America started to spend more money than it made, okay? Before, it made more money than it spent and lent this money to Europe and Japan. But then over time, this reversed itself, okay? And then what happened was that America started to shift its manufacturing to China. And so China is like, let me do all the work for you, America. And I'll do it for really cheaply, and I'll borrow money from you. I'll lend you the money to do it, okay? So what's happening is that America is becoming lazy, in debt, and corrupt. Okay? Because the entire world was basically working for America for very little money. So America didn't really have to work. And this led to massive inequality in America, which led to political corruption, which led to an oligarchy, okay? So don't think of America as a democracy, think of it as an oligarchy. And so when that happens, when only a few people benefit from the system, then the American people get really pissed. And so they elected Donald Trump. Okay? And why did Donald Trump get elected? Because he understood intuitively this system does not work. It cannot hold. It cannot be stable for too long. It's going to collapse eventually. Okay? The question then is, when will it collapse and who will benefit from the collapse? And Donald Trump's like, okay, then let's control the collapse so that my friends and I can benefit the most from this collapse, okay? And Donald Trump has two sets of friends. The first are the Christians, okay? Christian evangelicals, basically the fanatics who support Israel, as well as the AI, Silicon Valley. All right? So we learned about the idea of elite overproduction, okay? But the idea is that as society collapses, declines, the elites start to compete against themselves for resources. And so right now, the elite are the finance people, and the new elite, okay, the counter elites, are the AI people, okay? Artificial intelligence. And it's something we'll discuss later on, okay? But I introduce you to the idea. But basically, the idea is that America is a house of cards. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's corrupt. It's unequal. It's lazy. It's in decline. So it's going to fall apart sooner or later, okay? But the question then is, like, how do you manage this decline? How do you control this decline in a way that allows you and your friends to benefit the most? Okay? And that's why Donald Trump started this war in the Middle East. Because by starting this war in the Middle East, you're accelerating the process of decline in America, and therefore, you're able to help transform America from an economy that's based on finance to one that's based on resource exploitation and then manufacturing. Okay? Does that make sense? All right, any more questions?
So I have one last question about the explanations of this war. Like before, we explained it in the religious perspectives, and how does this, like, this explanation connect to the explanation today?
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's a really good question, okay? So the thing to understand about war is that there are different factors at play, okay? So before we went into eschatological factor, all right? Now explain to you the geopolitical or the economic, okay? But there's also the historical or hubris. Right? And what you need to recognize about history is that often all three things converge together. Okay? Because what is religion? Religion is a memory, a long-lost memory of our ancient past, told through myths and stories. So there's truth to religion because it's basing a lot of its ideas through personal experience, through history, okay? From thousands of years ago, right? And geopolitics, economics drives historical forces. So another way of understanding this is that often all these different factors are aligned together. And it's something we'll discuss more later on, okay? All right? And so why do I look at different factors, different vectors? And the answer is because I make predictions. And if I'm able to analyze an event using eschatology, geopolitics, and history, and they align together, then I can make a pretty accurate prediction that this will happen. I don't know when it will happen. I mean, I don't know who the players are, but I'm pretty sure this event will happen. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, great. All right, so we'll continue this next week, okay?